Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Welcome over to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. Let's get... We don't have a lot of time tonight. Let's get straight to the urgent breaking news everyone's talking about. Queen Elizabeth died 6 days ago. She meant a lot to a lot of people, and much of the world is still grieving. Today, the Queen's casket arrived at Westminster, where she will lie in state till next Monday. And people are already lining up for kilometers to give their respects. That's why it's always worth it to spring for the fast pass, okay? Trust me, you can hit up Space Mountain. You hit up Space Mountain while you wait to pay your tribute. Elizabeth II was the longest reigning monarch in British history, providing comfort to Britons for over 70 years. She helped the country weather several financial crises, joining and leaving the European Union, and of course, Ed Sheeran's Reign of Terror. His folksy Reign of Terror. Much of the UK is in mourning, and stateside, we're handling things in our own way.
We will have complete coverage all morning long on the Today Show, and we'll be looking for you then. But, Maria, tonight, it's all about the NFL kickoff on our plaza. Check this out.
My, a little bit.
Right? Right?
End of the canyon. Might seem like a bit of a jarring transition, but when you think about it, the NFL is a lot like the monarchy. They both take forever, they both have a lot of weird rules, and there's a surprising amount of tacky jewelry. Now, when... This is going. When a monarch dies, there's a ton of official protocol. Some of it's pretty weird, like how the royal beekeeper had to inform the queen's bees that the queen had died. Okay, is Britain real? Or is it just like a wet Narnia with knife crime? The beekeeper must inform the bees, Lord Wigglebottom shall send a raven to the Loch Ness Monster, and I shall email Dumbledore. Slip into Voldemort's DMs. Slip into his DMs. Plus, now that Britain is ruled by King Charles III, will have to replace her face on their stamps and on their cash. So, for all of our UK viewers, I'm sorry to say all of your money with Queen Elizabeth's face on it is now worthless. Okay, it's gone, but I got your back. Just send me two of your old worthless Lizzie bills, and I'll send you back a shiny Chuck Buck. I guess. There you go. New. Nothing like a new bill. Consumer brands will also have to update their labels. During her reign, Queen Elizabeth gave many products a warrant to display the royal coat of arms as a sort of endorsement of quality. For instance, Heinz ketchup and Gordon's gin. But now, after her passing, they may have to reapply. Same thing happens here in America. That's why every 48 years, we all get new products from President's Choice. The new king and queen, President's Choice. Off-brand seltzer. The new king and queen are already hard at work, sitting on what I believe are the official thrones of Great Britain, either that or they're the new judges on The Voice. Jackson. Jackson, I thought you did a wonderful job singing Nicki Minaj's Super Freaky Girl. We are amused. He's mine, Blake Shelton. You can suck it. Footman, swivel me. Too far. Of course, Chucky don't king for free. He's immediately taking over his late mother's financial portfolio, which is worth billions, And while British citizens normally pay around 40% inheritance tax, King Charles gets his inheritance tax-free. He's supposed to be exactly. Imagine how the English feel. He's supposed to be the ultimate public servant, and he doesn't pay taxes? That is going to cost him some votes. What? You're kidding. That's insane. Charles is still learning the royal ropes. Yesterday, he went viral when he had a little trouble signing a guest book at a ceremony in Northern Ireland.
I just had a book. Is it September 12th?
13th, sir.
Oh, God, in Broadway. 13th. Oh, God, I hate this.
I don't know what this is going on about. Hang on. Is anybody
got a shot? Where is the man? Where is the man? Where is the man?
I think it might be time to update the old British saying, keep calm and oh God, I can't bear this bloody thing. Anyway, good luck to the new king. There's good news. There's good news from Ukraine. It's still Ukraine, because over the last week, their armed forces reclaimed crucial areas. Their armed forces over the last week reclaimed crucial areas in a fierce counterattack that could signal a turning point in the war. It is such a disaster for the Russians. Putin has lowered his nipples to half-mast. According to President Zelensky, Ukraine has retaken around 2,400 square miles of territory this month, roughly the size of Delaware. And you know you're in a pointless war when what you're fighting over can be compared to Delaware. One reason, I don't know what that means. One reason Ukraine got back so much territory is that Russian troops fled like Olympic sprinters. And since they're Russian, you know they were jacked on steroids. Pew! Pew! Take a look at this Russian tank fleeing from battle. Here's the tank running away. There's some Russian soldiers jumping off. And finally, whammo! Right into the tree. That tank is going to need a tow. I think they're going to have to call triple. I'm sure everybody's fine. In fact, last week, Zelensky's forces launched a counteroffensive so successful that some are saying it shatters Russia's reputation as a military superpower. But don't you worry. Wow, civil war. Wow. Don't you worry, Russia. You'll always have your reputation as an endless wasteland littered with clinically depressed root vegetables. Military experts say Russian troops suffer from low morale, or as the Kremlin calls it, special military sadness. There are also some setbacks for Putin's allies, including former U.S. President Chuck Norris. The Justice Department's investigation into the ex-president's plot to use fake electors has kicked up a notch. Last week, over 30 associates of the ex-president were subpoenaed by a grand jury, including former senior advisor and groggy early morning pianist, Stephen Miller. Miller, among others, was ordered to provide any communication between themselves and Rudy Giuliani. They even subpoenaed Rudy's outgoing voicemail message.
You've reached Rudy Giuliani. I can't come to the phone right now because I'm passed out under a pile of coats. If you're returning a butt dial, please call my ass directly. Beep!
I like that he says his own beep. Beep! Perhaps the juiciest subpoena of all is the one delivered to MyPillow CEO and mentalist trying to read his own mind. Mike Lindell, yesterday, Lindell said this on social media.
Today, the FBI, you're going to hear this, and you're probably already hearing it in the news. The FBI came after me and took my phone. They surrounded me at a Hardee's.
Yes. Yes. They surrounded him. Surrounded him at a Hardee's. In fact, this is true. He was in the drive-thru.
Welcome to Hardee's. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you can say will be used against you in a court of law, but you have the right to an attorney, and you can pick him up at the window. Please pull around.
Later on, Lindell somehow got booked on Lindell TV to complain about one FBI agent in particular.
Then he goes, well, I got some bad news. And I go, okay, here it comes, right? He goes, we're taking your cell phone. We have a warrant for your cell phone. I go, no, I said my whole company. I run five companies off that.
He runs everything off of his cell phone? Is he selling pillows or meth? Listening to him talk, it's hard to tell. In every appearance, Lindell emphasized that he really needs his phone.
It's disgusting. I don't have a computer. Everything I do have that phone. Everything was on there.
That's not a great defense, Mike. Officer, you can't take my car. How will I get all these bodies to the river? There's also a chance that the bodies to the river. A little upsetting. There's also a chance the fascist curious folks in Congress could be swept up in this, because the DOJ is also seeking information about any members of the legislative branch who may have tried to obstruct, influence, impede, or delay the certification of the presidential election. And is this true? I'm told we have footage of Josh Hawley's reaction when he heard in the news. Run, Josh, run! We had a great show for you tonight.
More Late Show Poncho after this.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but...
Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to super fans, to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods, too, by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody! So, whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world,
it's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, Lewis, tonight, this is always fun. I'm grateful to all the guests who come on and oftentimes are friends. Few people are as good or as old a friend as tonight's guest. Steve Carell is here this evening. Amazingly talented. This is a crime that needs to be addressed at some point in American history. Steve Carell, for his work in The Office, never received an Emmy Award.
Oh, wow, really? No,
all those years.
The whole run.
Never received an Emmy Award. Makes it seem like Emmy Awards aren't that important.
I mean...
kind of makes it seem like they're not that important.
Not saying.
Win or lose, it's a really great job. And one of the best things about this job is that I get to meet so many talented and accomplished actors. Legends of stage and screen. And as exciting as it is to interview them right over here, I always kind of wish I could act with them. Of course, there isn't enough time in the show to stage an entire dramatic production, but it did occur to me recently that there is enough time to perform one scene from a brand new theatrical drama if we awkwardly cram all of the backstory into the dialogue. So we're gonna do just that right now. This is The Late Show's Too Much Exposition Theater.
Regard me. Angelo be my name, and yet today I am the very picture of woe. For my love, the Lady Isabella, hath ceased her life breathings. By supping upon a feast of poison, she, mistakenly thinking I was dead, chose to make herself actually dead, and I, wishing to join her in said death, also drank of the poison, only to find out it was indeed a very rare and delicious bottle of Chianti. Now have I not only lost my love, but gained a taste for expensive wine. Why does God curse me so? Hark, someone knocking upon the chamber door of my estate here in Venice, Italy, where I reside with my manservant Rodrigo, who is away for the weekend. So, I must respond to the knocking. Who thumps upon my door?
Tis I, Benvolion. He who has sworn hatred for thee since the very cradle, due to our fathers being rival Venetian gondoliers, who continued to one-up each other by building longer and longer oars until the absurd lengths drove them both mad.
Benvolion!
The very same. He who has sworn hatred for thee since the very cradle due to our fathers being rival.
You said that whole part before.
Yes, yes. But there are some words not yet spoken. It was I who told Lady Isabella that you were in death's cold embrace.
But why, Benvolion, why this deceit?
For thou always stood betwixt us.
Betwixt whom? Clarify yourself, man.
Betwixt me and the Lady Isabella. Betwixt means between.
I know that.
For you see, I loved her too.
So you whispered in her ear that I had entered death's house so that she would also rent a room there?
Yes, but only after my first plan failed.
What? Shed light on your mouth sounds by making further words to be received in the porches of mine ears. Come, let my lobes feast.
Two summers in the past, as we now speak, I sought to understand how you could charm a lady such as Isabella only by witnessing your courtship firsthand, and from her perspective could I learn the sorcery of your seduction. I arranged for the Lady Isabella to be shipped away to Sardinia, but not before I studied her mannerisms and gained access to her wardrobe so that I could become her and see you through her eyes. I spent an entire summer in your embrace and no idea had you.
Two, did you say two summers passed? 'Twas the summer I vowed to uncover thy family secrets by going in disguise as a chambermaid, placing myself in the service of your uncle so I could transcribe the words he spoke in his sleep.
But if you were a chambermaid, then who was you?
I dressed a donkey in my image and sent it to court in my stead.
Then you have made an ass of me by making an ass of yourself.
But you shall not be assed long, for I shall send your ass across the river Styx, where you'll be greeted by death himself, and he'll recognize you because you'll be the dead guy.
Nay! It is Death who shall be your bride at the Chapel of Death, with Death as the only witness. Death!
Death!
I am feast for worms.
'Tis true. But it was you or me, since surely you came here to take my life and transform it, but to a death!
Oh, what? No, actually.
What have you in your pocket?
I just wanted to come by and return this roll of Scottish tape.
The Scottish tape!
The Scottish tape! That I borrowed from you last year.
Oh no! Oh, fire on a fool! Oh gosh!
You have cut me to the quick!
I totally forgot about that. Sorry about the whole stabby thing.
It's all good. But with my final breath, I have one last request.
What? Anything.
Please promote my Hulu series.
You have my bow. Check out Steve Carell and The Patient on Hulu. We shall return with Steve Carell.
I'm alive!
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more, and Late Show Poncho listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Tonight is an actor you know from The 40-Year-Old Virgin, The Morning Show, and The Office. He now stars in The Patient.
Are you still out there?
I'm here.
Who was that? Was that his mother? Do you know these people?
I'm his therapist. The guy who has us down here. That was his mother, yes.
Who is this guy?
I think I may be able to stop him from killing us. I'm working on it. It's not easy.
I don't understand. He's not going to kill you, right? If you're his therapist?
Well, he doesn't seem to fully respect the patient-doctor relationship.
Please welcome back to The Late Show, my old friend and yours, Steve Carell. We got Steve Carell.
Hello.
Hey, Steve. How are
you? I'm well. How are you?
I'm very well, actually.
Good to see you.
Yeah, nice to see you, too.
Good.
Strange to see you. It's always a little strange to see you here at the desk.
How so?
Well, because you're these people, you're Steve Carell. You're just Steve. You're just one of the... You're also you're such an accomplished actor.
No, that's not it. That's not what makes it work.
No. The accomplished actor is... What's weird is that I know you to just be one of the silliest people I know.
Well, you too.
Well, sure. Sure.
I know.
That's why
here
I enjoyed
we are.
That so much.
I know.
All we did for, I don't know, how long did we know each other, like, comedically? Like, a decade? All we wanted to do was the dumbest thing we could.
We have known each other comedically longer than I've been married.
Wow.
It's over 30 years.
Sure, right. I'm only married 29 years, same thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, this is quite a love affair we've got going here. Hey, speaking of the March of Time, happy birthday.
Thanks.
I just...
Thanks for bringing it up. Fantastic.
I'm happy to. I'm happy to bring it up just because I think it was like, oh, we're basically the same age, right?
Yeah, we're basically
okay,
the
you're basically
same age.
But you're 60 now.
Yeah, I am.
You're 60.
I am. Yep.
And I don't want to brag, but I'm in my mid-50s.
Really?
58, that's somewhere in the middle.
That's
58.
That's late mid.
That's late mid, exactly, but it's not sick. Did you need supplemental oxygen to come out here or
a
anything
little bit.
Like that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, no, I'm doing fine.
I'm sure.
I do have a hip, though. You know that.
Did you replace your hip?
Years ago. Yeah.
No.
It is fantastic.
Because of the hockey?
Yeah. The doctor came in about 5 minutes before I was going under and said, what sort of material do you want your hip to be? And I was like, shouldn't we have talked about this before? And
what are the options?
Oh, well, porcelain, no.
Maybe. No, ceramic?
That's what I got. I got ceramic.
Oh.
Because he said, you know, up until that point, most durable.
Yep.
But he said, also has a tendency to squeak. So I was like, do you want durability? Do you want durability?
Can you not be a spy now? Because you're like...
That's right. Yeah.
You know what? We're going to take a little bit of a break right here, pay some bills. Mr. Steve Carell will be here when you get back. Don't go away.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
There he is, in the flesh. Maestro. Okay, everybody's excited that you're going to be getting together with your friend John Krasinski for a new movie called Imaginary Friends that John has written and is directing.
Yeah.
Have you started yet?
Yes.
You've started.
I have started.
Now, last time you... How long ago since you guys have worked together?
Oh, I mean, since the end of The Office.
So last time you saw him, he didn't have a beard and wasn't jacked the way he is now.
No,
Is it different?
Completely different.
Because he was kind of like, you know, kind of like...
He's the same guy. He's exactly the same guy.
Sure.
And he's such a great director. Like,
he really
fantastic.
Is. Yeah, he really is a fantastic director. He directed you in The Office, and you directed The Office.
A few of them, yeah.
The two or three times.
Yeah.
What's that... A, what's it like to be directed by another ensemble member, and what's it like to put that hat on yourself?
I don't have a lot of context. On The Office, it was so easy because we were all super good friends and we were all supporting each other and we all wanted each other to succeed. So that part of it, I mean, when one of the cast or one of the writers became a director, everyone was totally behind them. And so it was kind of easy. And everybody knew their characters so well and you could only shoot in that small space. So there weren't a lot of options in terms of setting up a shot. So it was kind of simple.
Not a lot of flying jibs
no,
or anything
no,
like that.
No.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got yet another project that we just saw a clip from right there. Kind of funny, kind of spooky. Called The Patient.
Right.
Where Domhnall Gleeson is your patient. And
yes.
Am I giving anything away to say that he's the serial killer?
You blew it.
Sorry.
You
I'm
don't
sorry.
Find
now
that
no
out until episode 10. No. Yes, he is a serial killer. He abducts his therapist,
yes.
me,
yeah.
and chains him up in his basement, his little rec room downstairs, because he wants to really get some intensive therapy going.
Sure.
Yeah, as you do.
Sure.
Right.
Also, very limited set to shoot on.
Right. Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah, that... Mm-hmm. Well, I was chained
up...
Is
that what appealed to you about this? Was that you didn't have to go to a lot of different locations?
I didn't... Well, yes. I thought, oh, that'll be easy. But I didn't think the part through that they're chaining me up to the floor. And it's a...
Why did... Can't they just do a fake chain?
I wanted a real chain because it's got a different heft to it and it's got, you know, it makes you feel a certain way when you have a real chain and a real lock.
I wouldn't know.
No.
I'm flattered.
Let's see.
I would...
Yeah. No, you're good.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it was, there was a visceral feeling to it.
But are you actually locked in?
They had, the first day, they had one key. And I thought, you better make some duplicates for this thing.
What if there's a fire?
Because if there's a fire or an earthquake or something, they're out of there.
Or a
and
lion.
I'm saying, help me. Yeah, or a lion.
A lion
or
on a lion set. On Hollywood, any moment.
Anything can happen.
It's a back lot. The lion comes over from MGM.
One of the first days, everybody went to lunch, and I was like, hey. And I was last to the catering table.
They didn't unlock
well,
you?
Well, they forgot. Like, they were...
They forgot Steve Carell was chained to the bed?
Well... They were hungry, so, you know, it's okay.
You're very forgiving. I mean, very forgiving.
I'm over.
You're over it?
I'm overstating it.
Okay.
No, I'm not over it. I'm not over anything. I'm 60. I'm ready for anything, Steven.
And it's important. Yes. It's very important in Hollywood to never let a grudge go. That's what I know. Never forgive anyone for anything.
That's what you need to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and shout.
It's easy to hold. I'm a great grudge holder. I'm really good.
Oh, yeah, I know you are.
Make a little list.
Sure. Mm. The things you've got on me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm writing a book, actually.
What?
I'm writing a book about you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you need a blurb or anything like that?
No. You'll see.
We have to take a quick break, but stick around. We'll be right back with more Mr. Steve Carell, everybody.
Enjoying this episode of The Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
We're back here with our friend, America's sweetheart, Steve Carell.
Oh.
You've got a very calm demeanor. You know, you can play, you know, big as a performer, but you yourself are very level-headed and steady. Do you think you would be a good therapist?
Well, I play one on television, so yeah, definitely.
That's all you got to do.
I don't know. I mean, I think anyone who can listen to other people immediately think they could be a good therapist, but I don't know if that's actually the case. Because, you know, you do need training and to go to school and all of that.
Sure.
But it's fascinating. I think it's a fascinating profession.
I think my fear would be is that if I was a therapist, I would go, I would tell the story better. I would. Now you're leading with the wrong information. Now it's not nearly as entertaining as this story.
But what you kind of do, I mean, what you do here is, I think, a little, I think you'd actually be a good therapist.
I would.
I think you would.
I don't know if I would.
Well, I mean, think about it. You're here. You're listening to people. You are a sounding board. You're
right.
Making them feel good about themselves,
right.
Even when they stink.
Right. And I'm a very good listener if the person is talking about me, like you are right now. Then I'm like, this is a fascinating person. This is a fascinating person.
Yeah.
But you also have to care about people, and obviously I'm dead inside.
That's
and
true.
So after years, I'm just faking my humanity over here.
Yeah. You're a little sociopathic. I get it.
Sure. Yeah, my heart doesn't go above 85 beats per minute. You played a great sociopath at Second City.
Oh,
you remember you and Amy had that scene in the laundromat where you talked about what it's like to strangle someone?
Yeah.
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 And everyone goes, I can't believe Steve Carell was so great in Foxcatcher, where you played the crazy DuPont.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're I remember I was at an event honoring Foxcatcher one night, and I said, I don't know why everyone's surprised. I've known he's psychotic for years. Very dark. He comes out.
There's a depth to our relationship.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. That we both promised not to tell anyone about.
That's right.
Now, this is not a spoiler. Oh, my God.
What's wrong?
I was about to ask you the same question again.
Oh, really?
Yes. Because I jumped. I asked you a question about being chained to the bed, and I was about to go back and ask you that question again.
I'll answer it differently. Go on, ask me again. Can do it?
She was at the end here. I thought that was my getaway question, but in fact, I'd asked you that question earlier. I asked you up here.
You need to get out of this thing. You need like a good cut point.
Wait, and then they're telling me
thank
to
you, everybody.
Wait. It says wrap over there.
Okay.
It says wrap over there. So we've done all the time we want.
Okay.
But I thought, I want to give him a chance to score before he goes. And then I looked down and said, oh, you know, not a spoiler. And then I went, oh, no.
Oh, don't worry about me scoring. It's not going to, you know, I'm not going to say anything funny for the next, you know, 20 or 30 seconds.
Episodes of The Patient are available on Hulu Tuesdays. Steve Carell, everybody.
This has been The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. If you're enjoying The Late Show Pod Show, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And for more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
Hey everyone, it's David Duchovny. Do you ever feel like a failure? Trust me, I get it. Hell, I've spent my whole life almost feeling like a failure. It's appropriate, though, because on Fail Better, my new podcast with Lemonada Media, exploring the world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives, is the whole point. Each week, I'll chat with artists, athletes, actors, and experts about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, I hope we can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out on May 7th, wherever you get your podcasts.